WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Yes, it is 1 o'clock. Welcome to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this January 23rd, 2014. And boy, I tell you what, the talk of the town around here, and even nationally, has to be Detroit Cass Tech quarterback J. Rue Campbell, who is facing assault and battery charges after body slamming a school security guard. Now, Detroit Cass Tech QB J. Rue Campbell, he has been arrested and he has been charged with assault and battery. That has been confirmed. And if you've seen the video, which is, if you haven't, it is posted online. You can check it out. It does not look good, so to speak. We are going to open our phone lines. This story broke yesterday, and I had heard from multiple sources throughout yesterday that this had taken place during the school day, but did not want to come out and tweet it, Facebook it, or go on social media and say anything until I had confirmation that it had happened. Once the video came out, then you saw various individuals go with the story. Many in Detroit, where the incident took place, of course, at Detroit Cass Tech High School. And we're going to discuss it here on the show. And I want to be very careful, though, when addressing this, because, of course, in our business, there are always two sides to every story. And that's why I definitely want to be very careful on how I address this. I will give my thoughts on it without a doubt. And if you want to call in, 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. We will take your calls and thoughts on this throughout the show. And you can call in and express your views on it. But I definitely will be very careful because we do know he has been charged. Again, facing assault and battery charges, Detroit Cass Tech QB, for body slamming a school security guard during the school day yesterday. We're definitely going to dive into it, and we want to open the phone lines for you if you have any thoughts on it. So, in the meantime, before we do get to that conversation, here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, Nick Stauskas scored 26 points, and the number 21 Michigan Wolverines held off number 10 Iowa 75-67 on Wednesday night to remain unbeaten in the Big Ten. Now, Glenn Robinson III added 14 points for the Wolverines, and Spike Albrick shined in his first career start, finishing with 7 points, 7 assists, 4 steals, no turnovers. He was great last night. Now, the Wolverines have won 8 straight to set up a showdown in East Lansing on Saturday night when rival Michigan State, the Big Ten's only other unbeaten team in conference play, and Michigan will get it on. Now, Aaron White scored 14 of Iowa's points in a row down the stretch, but it wasn't enough to rally the Hawkeyes from an 11-point deficit. Also want to note that speaking of MSU and U of M, MSU, the hockey team, they get it on against the Maize and Blue tonight at Joe Louis Arena. 7 p.m. the puck will drop. The two in-state rivals will also play on Friday at Munn Ice Arena. 6:30 p.m. the start of that one. Okay, Wings and Blackhawks.
A chance to put his team ahead.
Yes, that was the game-winning goal from Darren Helm. The offensively challenged and banged-up Detroit Red Wings proved to the defending Stanley Cup champions that they are still tough to beat. Darren Helms scored on Detroit's sixth attempt in the shootout, and then Jonas Gustafsson stopped Andrew Shaw's shot, lifting the Detroit Red Wings to a 5-4 win over the Chicago Blackhawks on Wednesday night. Now, the Blackhawks face Detroit for the first time since beating the Red Wings in overtime in Game 7 of the second-round series last year to complete a comeback from a 3-1 deficit. They are only scheduled to play one more time in the regular season because, of course, the Red Wings moved to the Eastern Conference this season as part of the NHL's realignment. So there you have that. All right, Pistons, despite 30 points from Brandon Jennings, he was hot last night, the Pistons fell to the Milwaukee Bucks 104-101 last night. The win snapped a 9-game losing streak for the Bucks, who came back from a 10-point third-quarter deficit. Caron Butler matched Jennings' 30 points. Former Piston Brandon Knight added 16 points against his old team. And Chris Middleton blocked two late Rodney Stuckey attempts to preserve the win. All right, new Lions coach Jim Caldwell is already making changes to the much-maligned offense, starting with tempo. Caldwell said the Lions will implement a more no-huddle attack next season, saying, quote, "Tempo, more so than anything else, is a weapon. You use it every single ball game at some point in time. The two-minute offense before the half, end of the game, and those kind of things. If it's a part of your package, it's a little bit easier in that realm. And it's a very, very important realm." So that's Jim Caldwell saying that they will be implementing the no-huddle offense next season. That certainly will be interesting to see. All right. Despite the protests from Bill Belichick and Walter Thurman, NFL Vice President of Officiating Dean Blandon says Wes Welker's hit on Aqib Talib in Sunday's AFC Championship game was legal, saying, this is from Bladino, he said, quote, "The first potential foul would be for offensive pass interference. A receiver can't block downfield more, before the ball is touched, so the timing is important." Now, Welker likely won't face any discipline in February's Super Bowl against the Seahawks. So, interesting take there, because Alex and I definitely discussed that, and we both thought it was a dirty hit, if you will. All right, Adrian Peterson, he was scheduled to undergo groin surgery this morning. Peterson missed 3 games last season and dropped out of the Pro Bowl due to the injury. Stanislas Wawrinka of Switzerland made it to the Grand Slam final in the Australian Open after winning in 4 sets. Wawrinka is now set to face the winner of the Federer-Nadal matchup. Cannot wait for that one. And, yeah, so those are your current sports quickie headliners. If you want to call in and share your thoughts on any of those, you can call in at 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527, and share what's on your mind. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet me at Al Martin WKAR. Also, remind you all that I sat down with MSU athletic director, who I call the hardest working man in athletics, Mark Hollis. Yes, Mark and I sat down for Current Sports TV last night, and you can catch that episode tonight at 10 p.m. on WKAR-TV. Flock to your TVs, DVR it. I mean, you got to check it out. You know, those cryptic tweets that Mark was, has been dishing out left and right. He definitely addressed those, if you will, yesterday, and even put out a few more hints. So it was a great sit down with Mark. He's always a great, great interview. You can check that episode again tonight at 10 p.m. on WKAR-TV. Okay, well, Alex now joins me to kick off this show before we get to our first guest. The J. Rule Campbell incident that took place yesterday. Again, police confirm that J. Rule Campbell, the Caztec star quarterback, who has committed to play for Michigan State University in 2015, body slammed a security guard at school yesterday. Now, Campbell was recently suspended, if you remember, for punching a Detroit Catholic Central player in a post-game handshake following a loss. Now, Alex, when I look at this story, I want to be very careful, because when I look at stories like this, I simply feel as though we don't know the whole story just yet. I always say, you know, my grandma used to say this, there's always two sides to every story. And then there's the truth, okay? We haven't heard what went down, what enticed this scuffle between J. Rule and the security guard. But I tell you what, looking at the video and knowing J. Rule's past, if you will, and, you know, I know a few people at Cash Tech. I actually go to Cash Tech sometimes, you know, as a member of Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated, my college frat. I go there and talk to youth there sometimes and, you know, try to motivate them and get, you know, kids, you know, who are in the inner city of Detroit who are down the wrong path, just some inspiration and motivation to try to change their lives around. And they tell me that J. Rule has been known as a hothead, if you will. And we saw it. You know, there's even video of it, of him walking through the line during that Detroit Catholic Central Cash Tech football game earlier this season. And, you know, hitting another player from the opposing team in the helmet. You know, he gets pulled out of the line by an assistant coach. He tries to push the assistant coach off of him. And the assistant coach drags him to the ground and tries to calm him down. So he's been known. He's had a history of being a hothead, if you will. So, with that mindset, looking at that video last night when it broke and hit the airwaves, if any word came to my mind, it would have to be upsetting for me. Upsetting in the realm that here's a kid who is one heck of a high school football player, who has the world in his hands right now, who has committed to play football at one of the most prestigious universities in this entire nation, coming off a Rose Bowl win. I mean, he's got the world in his palms. And to see not only the action that took place during that Detroit Catholic Central game, but to see this scuffle with the security guard, the first thing that went through my mind was, oh no, this is really disappointing. Because here's a kid. Again, we don't know every single fact. We don't know what enticed this incident. But at the same time, if it comes out, and he has been charged with assault and battery, if it comes out that he was in the wrong, I feel for the kid. This is a kid who clearly is lost and needs some guidance in life and clearly doesn't know the esteemed position that he is in right now. And his talent is being thrown down the toilet if it comes out that he was in the wrong. And it's so upsetting, you know, coming from where I'm from in Detroit, and I've seen so many youth just go down that wrong path, hanging out with the wrong crowd, even the gifted youth, those who are excelling in sports specifically those in sports. Because how many times have we seen athletes in athletics in high school who are young just completely blow it by two or three stupid mistakes and get their scholarship pulled? I hope that's not the case with J. Rule. I'm praying that's not the case with J. Rule Campbell. But I tell you what, it does not look good right now.
Yeah. My side of it actually comes in two ways. It's great what you said. There's one side, the other side, and the truth. But I want to talk about the other side for Cass Tech. This isn't just an ordinary high school, Al. This is Cass Tech High School. This is Cass Tech football. This is a high school that produces pro talent, college talent left and right. And aside from just the prestige at Michigan State University and coming off a Rose Bowl win, that J. Rue Campbell has the sky at his limits for him to come in and make an impact in Michigan State, how about the impact that this does for the coaches at Cass Tech, for the players at Cass Tech, and for future high school athletes at Cass Tech that one day want to come to Michigan State or Michigan or any other college program? Think about what that will do for the rest of the offseason, and this is all if it appears to be true, like you said. Think about what that will deter for other college players looking at Michigan State. Oh, well, if J. Rue Campbell went this crazy and he's committed to Michigan State, I don't know if I want to go play for a program like that. Those thoughts could get in there.
And you know what? What is really upsetting, when the video came out, something that really rubbed me the wrong way, and has for quite some time, you know, of course, I'm an MSU alum. I bleed green. I have friends who go to U of M and whatnot. And so a few of them actually texted me yesterday, last night, when they found out about the whole J. Rue Campbell, you know, incident. And what rubs me the wrong way is this perception that some, not all, have at University of Michigan that Michigan State players and personnel are rowdy and quote-unquote thuggish, if you will? Because that I'm laying it on the table, because this is a conversation I've had multiple times with many people. And when this story broke, when the video came out about J'Rue Campbell, there were many forums and there were many tweets, direct tweets that I got, well, I won't name, that came out and said Michigan State would recruit the hoodlum.
Yeah,
if you will.
And about that,
that upsets me. That upsets me.
And here's the thing. Michigan didn't offer J'Rue Campbell because he doesn't fit their mold for offense now.
Right.
Now that Rich Rodriguez is gone, you're going to typical, back to, you know, to the traditional Michigan offense, Shane Morris in the fold. That's a traditional non-dual threat quarterback. But it's not just a Michigan State.
I don't know where that – where did that perception come from?
Well, I think
– I have never heard of that perception until I got to Michigan State.
Okay. Well, I think that had to do with – first, we had the Jay Harris thing, that bull. We went all about that on the show.
Don't get me started on that. Right.
And then you have other Michigan State players, no need to name who they are, who get caught in the offseason – with drinking and the Max Bullitt thing. We don't even know about that.
But, I mean, don't get me started. There are Michigan players that do the same thing. Look at Taylor Lewan. I mean, come on. I mean, there's multiple. I mean, if you look in the history of Michigan football and athletics, I mean, just go back to the whole Edward Martin situation. You know what I mean? I mean, it could go on and on. This happens all the time. But I just hate the label.
They're talking specifically recruits.
I hate the label. I mean, no, not in general. I've had this conversation with, in general, Michigan State athletes looked at as – thuggish or hoodlumish, if you will, and that perception, that's a perception that some have at University of Michigan. I've heard that multiple times, Alex, multiple times, and it rubs me the wrong way. But again, going back to J'Rue, though, again, we do not know the full story here. What we do know is that J'Rue has been charged and arrested with assault and battery. We do know that. And that does not look good. Now, if anything, for this moment right here, for Coach D'Antonio, and I'm going back to the Max Bullitt situation, where Max Bullitt did not even make the trip with Michigan State down to Pasadena to play in the Rose Bowl. This could, if J'Rue is found to be in the wrong here with this whole fiasco that's going on, this could be another teaching moment for Coach D'Antonio to put his foot down, pull the scholarship, and say, hey, we're not accepting any nonsense here, and I don't care how good the kid is. I don't care how great of a player he is. We don't stand for that. There's a certain quality that Michigan State now upholds as a program, and D'Antonio has echoed that throughout his tenure here, and I would not be surprised if he did pull it.
Right.
If J'Rue is in the wrong.
And you know what's most disappointing about that is Curtis Blackwell was hired for a reason, and that was to bring in Detroit athletes, high school athletes, to compete here more than in the past. That was a main proponent of hiring Curtis Blackwell. Now, if they pull from J'Rue, there aren't any really that type of caliber of players left for Michigan State to go after for his year that are dual threat and that are the same level of ability as J'Rue Campbell is. So that's another aspect. And my last point is, if they revoked from Jay Harris that bull from without being he was never charged.
That bull just made a music video.
He was never charged.
Was
if they pulled from him from just a music video with him smoking.
But it wasn't just a music video.
Right.
I would have pulled a scholarship too if I was Coach
D'Antonio. Of course. But if they're pulling a video from that, and this appears to be true, then you can only imagine if he's found guilty that a charge, an actual charge from the law, that for me has to be a pull.
If you want to call in and express your thoughts on this, 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. So, Alex, you're saying if they would pull that bull scholarship.
Right.
Why am I calling him that bull? Jay Harris' scholarship due to a music video in which, you know, he was doing some obscene things in that music video.
Yeah.
Then a legal charge against J'Rue, just the charge alone. Should warrant a automatic pull from his scholarship?
If he's guilty, then I think so, yeah.
I think you got to wait until it pans out.
Right,
like
no,
I said,
I agree. But I'm saying if he is guilty and if he actually did that, I think you have to pull it.
In the video, and again, just speaking on the video looks horrid.
Yeah. Well, Michigan had the same thing, last point because I know we got to go, but DeMar Dorsey, I don't know if you remember him, played in the All-American game, mm-hmm. was supposed to, he was committed to Michigan, a guy from Florida, had all kinds of charges in his past. A lot of the history then started to spill out. He wanted to get a fresh start, leaving the state of Florida, coming to University of Michigan. This is exactly the same story with DeMar Dorsey, with Jayrue Campbell, and even more of an extent. I mean, DeMar Dorsey was charged with robbery. He had, like, an armed robbery charge. So you're comparing Dorsey to Jayrue Campbell. If Michigan pulled the scholarship for Dorsey, there's no way that they will not pull the charges or pull the scholarship for Jayrue Campbell.
We will see. Again, I don't want to jump the gun here because I don't know what enticed the whole physical altercation. I just know what I saw in that video. The video did not look pleasing at all whatsoever. And again, knowing I'm looking at Jayrue's history here. Again, I've talked to multiple people who go to Cash Tech and know Jayrue. He's known as a hothead. He's known as a hothead. Going back to the incident at Detroit Catholic Central, that game, that handshake, he was in the wrong for that. Punching a kid when you're trying to show sportsmanship, slapping fives. His history does not bode well for him in this context of what happened yesterday at school. And again, I really hope, I mean, this is a very, very talented kid. Talent through the roof. I really hope and pray that if there's any inkling of this turning positive, which it does not look good for right now, it's so disappointing to see a kid drown talent like that quickly.
It is, yeah.
It's tough. All right, if you got an opinion on this, give us a call, 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. If you have an opinion on the Jayrue Campbell story that broke yesterday, again, Jayrue Campbell, Detroit Cash Tech quarterback who has committed to play football at Michigan State University for 2015. He has been arrested and charged with assault and battery after body slamming a school security guard. Again, 517-355-9527. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we want to shift gears on a more positive note. Let's get healthy. Let's get healthy, guys. All right, Mike Ball, personal trainer, expert in the world of fitness. Do not want to miss that interview. Stay tuned. Current Sports will be right back. Welcome back to Current Sports. All right, well, let's shift gears now from the whole Jayrue Campbell story, which is really taking over the media around here in mid-Michigan, and invite our guest for today's Current Sports. Today's guest is going to help all of you winter couch potatoes out there get in shape and end the laziness, hopefully. Mid-Michigan personal trainer Mike Ball, welcome back to Current Sports. How you been, Mike?
Doing great. Thanks for having me back, Al.
No problem. So, Mike, let's dive right into this thing. I tell you what, I'm pretty proud of myself this week because not too long ago, I'm pretty sure you know Planet Fitness, the new Planet Fitness just opened around Meridian Mall. And I said, wow, $10 a month? I got to try this then. And I got off my couch and said, I'm about to get a membership at Planet Fitness and get in shape and get healthy. I've been on a pretty nice little schedule here, 3 to 4 times a week. I'm actually going later on today after work. But, Mike, I mean, for people out there that are trying to fight the laziness that is Michigan in the winter months that is Michigan, I mean, how do they go about doing that? I mean, just getting out that mindset, because it's not like you're in L.A. or Florida where the weather's beautiful and you want to get outdoors and be active. Michigan really puts people, you know, in their confines of their apartment or house.
Absolutely. You get into hibernation mode. It's easy to do that. It's too cold. You can cover up with a lot of clothes, just kind of hibernate the winter away, and then all of a sudden spring arrives, and it's time to go outside, and you're like, well, what have I done? And I need to make those changes. So it's good to think about it early. The one thing we talked a little, I know, before about New Year's resolutions. I love the fact that people are excited in the new year, new start, you know, to get going on fitness, because the holidays, as wonderful as they are, aren't always a time when, you know, we really focus on our health. We tend to go to a lot of gatherings and parties, and we maybe aren't as active. We're eating the wrong kinds of things. January 1st rolls around. Spirits are high. People, you know, want to get out there and do the right thing to improve their health, but sometimes they set their sights a little too high. sometimes their goals are a little too lofty. So I like what you're talking about with Planet Fitness and establishing basically some consistency, a routine, something you can get into that's realistic, whether it's January or June or November. This is a lifestyle change you're making. It's not something you're just jumping into hoping to improve yourself for a trip on spring break or, you know, something for a couple months. This is a change that's going to make you a better person in terms of your emotional health, your psychological, your physical health. So it's all about establishing little behaviors and then building upon those, getting confidence, getting momentum going forward.
Now, Mike, you talk about those New Year's resolutions, and I'm sure on January 1st, you've seen a lot of individuals say, okay, this year is the year I'm going to get in shape. I mean, talk about the amount of people that come to you and say, this year is the year, and then kind of just trickle off. Do you see that a lot?
See it a lot, again, because people, their hearts are in the right place. They want to be successful. It's just that they try to tackle this problem or this challenge all at once. You know, they completely eliminate a lot of foods from their diet. They say, I'm going to go to the gym 7 days a week, 2 hours a day. They're establishing unrealistic expectations. So what it has to be is you have to take a step back. You have to say, listen, I didn't get out of shape overnight. I'm not going to get back into shape overnight. It's going to take some time. It's going to take some commitment. But, you know, along that path, you're going to learn a lot about yourself. You're going to learn how to not only eat right, be more active, but you're going to learn how you can maintain the results that you're able to achieve long term. So I know people don't want to hear this. Everybody wants a quick fix. They want something, a pill or a potion or routine that's going to get them the results right now. But the bottom line is, we all know this from personal experience, and there's research to back it up, that it just takes a consistent change in your approach and prioritizing your health and prioritizing the time that you spend on exercise and eating healthy. That's what it's got to be.
Now, when that new year starts and, you know, you get those individuals that say this year is the year, and they get involved, they get a membership at a gym, and over time it seems as though they just get caught up with life and that consistency dwindles down, and then next thing you know, they're in the same predicament they were in at the end of last year. How do you keep those individuals motivated and in the gym and doing the right things they need to do to be healthy? Because I've seen so many just trickle off. What accounts for that trickle-off effect, if you will?
It's a good question. The trickle-off, I think, a lot of times is seen for a couple reasons. One is, as we alluded to, the unrealistic expectations. They expect to lose 10 pounds in a week or 2 weeks or something. They don't see that. They get discouraged. They stop. So you have to realize that early on, say, for example, especially when you start an exercise program, early on, a lot of times you don't see drastic weight changes if that's a goal that someone has. This is due to a number of reasons. One is it takes a while to get that metabolism jump started, to burn the number of calories to really start to see the fat loss. Two is a person that hasn't been exercising, comes to the gym, starts working out, they're shifting their body composition a little bit. They're gaining a little bit of muscle along with the fat loss they're having. They get on a scale, the scale doesn't budge, they get discouraged. But things are happening, positive things are happening.
So just because you don't see it on a scale doesn't mean there's not progress being made.
Absolutely. You know, sometimes it's a matter of looking at things at a little greater level with a body composition assessment, which we do as part of the personal training services, so people can see those changes over time. Another thing is, early on, a lot of the changes you see they're emotional, they're psychological. You're feeling better about yourself. You're sleeping better. You have more energy. Your self-esteem goes up. It's a positive mental experience, and that's part of what hopefully is going to keep people committed and drive them to the point where they can really start to see the physical changes. But if you really want to make it something that's permanent, you've got to invest the time. And I hate to say it, but you got to make the time. It's not going to fall into your lap. We've all got 24 hours in a day, 7 days in a week. You've got to make the time for that commitment. It doesn't have to be a big one. You know, you can go half hour a day of physical activity can do a tremendous amount for someone that's inactive. So
Right. One
of the things that I really try to strive to get people to think about is going to the gym, working out, maybe with a personal trainer on your own, establishing routine is great. But don't forget just regular, good old-fashioned physical activity. Getting up, moving, getting off that couch, walking around a little bit, being more active at work, school, just incorporating and embracing the concept of I'm going to be a more active person. That can do wonders to improve your health and jumpstart that weight loss as well.
Yes, it can. Ladies and gents, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, we are chatting with Mid-Michigan personal trainer Mike Ball. Now, Mike, how does one who has been eating unhealthy for so long, like myself, I mean, these past few months have been terrible for me. I've been going to Wendy's and McDonald's and Arby's. I mean, I could go on and on and on.
I saw you out there a couple times.
Yeah, exactly.
I was passing by, of course. But yeah.
You probably did. You probably did,
in.
Mike.
I said, there goes Al again.
Ridiculous, right? You know, with my Wendy's bag in my hand. I mean, it's ridiculous, you know? But somebody who's been eating unhealthy for so long, Mike, how does one just go cold turkey and eat healthy? I mean, it's got to be a gradual process, right?
Cold turkey's a good start. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, it's a good source of protein, low fat, but it's got to be a process. It's got to be that. My feeling on this is if you try to do it all at once, you're setting yourself up for failure. So mm-hmm. one of the things that I like to see people do to start off is make a commitment that your house is like a health sanctuary. Don't bring those foods into the house. You're going to surround yourself with healthy foods and healthy choices. Because the last thing you want is to be struggling to eat better and having these foods calling to you from the refrigerator or the cabinet or the pantry. They're not there. So that's going to force you to leave the house, go out in this godforsaken weather, and sequester that food, which most of us aren't going to want to do.
Right.
But our cheat meals, if they will, are going to be things that we're going to do as part of our social group, as part of maybe a planned party or event. They're going to be out there. They're not going to come back into the home. They're going to be something that we're going to be able to utilize to our advantage because, you know, food tastes good. And we should be able to enjoy it. But rule number one that I try to establish in my clients is the things you bring into your home are things that are going to help you improve your health and control your weight and give you energy to exercise and make you feel better about yourself. That's number one.
Right.
Number two is just to give you another suggestion is we all need to have our go-to foods. Go-to mm-hmm. foods are basically things that when we start to get really hungry, they're accessible, they're healthy, they're right there. We don't have to go make them. We don't spend 2 hours slaving the kitchen. We don't have to drive somewhere to get them. They're there and they're waiting for us. You know, so it depends on your own personal preferences and things like this. But mm-hmm. I have my own things that I know. They're right there. I take them to work. They're sitting in a little cooler, refrigerator.
What are your go-to foods,
I'll give you an example of one. Mm-hmm. I've really gotten into Greek yogurt, which is just a
Greek yogurt.
Greek yogurt. It's yogurt that's basically has extra. It's basically got 50% more protein. It's a little thicker. It's kind of an acquired taste, a little more custardy than your typical yogurt. But I'll take yogurt, plain. But I'm going to modify it. I'm going to soup it up a little bit here. Mm-hmm. Put in some frozen berries in the morning. So by the time I get to that in the mid-morning, it's perfect consistency. Kind of gives a good flavor, maybe raspberries, blueberries, something like this.
Right.
Some walnuts and a little bit of honey. Stir that up. I'm telling you, it's a great thing.
But Mike, you're a big guy. Does that fill you up? I mean, because that's the problem I have. When I eat healthy foods, that yogurt and the banana and the apple, I'm still hungry after I eat that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. So what you have to do is you have to make sure that you take into account portion control, portion sizes you're going to need to keep you filled up, and making sure you're having these foods available to you throughout the day to keep your energy level. One of the things we try to do when we recommend changes for people is we want to try to stabilize insulin levels. Insulin is a hormone that we produce in the pancreas in response to eating food, especially carbohydrates. It's a wonderful thing. It keeps our blood sugar stable so we can be healthy. The problem is when we overeat, we tend to produce a lot of insulin, which can cause weight gain, insulin insensitivity, and a multitude of problems from that. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to get across to people is, you know, try to eat smaller meals through the day, which is going to keep you feeling more energized. It's going to keep your appetite at bay so you don't feel so ravenous and out of control when it comes time to eat.
Right.
But it all goes back to planning, preparation. I spend a little bit of time, not excessive, but a little bit of time at the end of each day putting these foods together so I've got them to take to work the next day. So when I'm in between clients or I'm in between lectures or something like this, I've got something. Because I'm like everybody else. I get too hungry, and I'm going to be behind you in that drive-thru line at McDonald's, okay? I've got to plan ahead, so I'm going to make a good choice.
Right.
And, you know, it really comes back to benefit you in time. If you're consistent with this, you're going to see those changes occurring. And that's just going to feed upon itself. And, you know, people can really be successful. It's so rewarding as a trainer, and I'm sure every trainer out there would say the same thing, to see those clients that really get it. They're not just there trying to get ready for spring break or a wedding or just because, you know, they felt like they need to get a personal trainer because their best friend has one. They're invested in this.
Yeah.
And you start seeing those results and you see how tickled they are, these changes. And you're kind of going along for the ride. They're doing it and you're just facilitating. And it's just the best feeling in the world to see the results that those people are achieving and how it's changing them. Like I said, not only physically, but just in their whole state of well-being and their attitude.
Now, Mike, I got to ask you because, you know, the last time we had you on, you did say, and I probably harped on this too much, I probably took this overboard, but you did say that cheat meals can be, you know, beneficial psychologically for an individual. Rewarding, yep. You know, the ice cream or the fries at McDonald's. Can individuals do that?
I believe they can. I mean, there's different philosophies on this, but I believe they do a couple of different things. One is we all have these cravings, and the more you tend towards healthy eating, the cravings start to diminish. Trust me on this. I was the biggest chocoholic in the world. Mm-hmm. I swear to God, I just love chocolate. After breakfast, I needed chocolate. I mean, constantly thinking about chocolate.
Right.
So it took me a while to get out of the mindset that this was something that needed to be a regular part of my daily intake. I didn't need that. It was nourishing my mind. It wasn't nourishing my body. Mm-hmm. So what ends up happening with a cheat meal is we all going to have these cravings. From time to time, it's not going to have too big a negative impact on our ability to lose weight or be healthy. On occasion, when I say on occasion, once, maybe twice a week, in moderation, we go out and we have these foods that we really enjoy. There's a social dynamic involved that we go out to eat with friends or family. We don't want to be stigmatized as that person sitting over there having the salad and can't partake in the meal that everyone else is having. We allow ourselves to have these indulgences. And over time, what you realize is the foods don't really taste quite as good as they used to. They seem a little too salty or a little too sweet or a little too filling. Mm-hmm. So we end up eating less, but we know in our minds we can still have them. So we don't feel that sense of, you know, that we're missing out on something. You know, we're depriving ourselves of that. They also can do something physiologically. Is that when we're dieting, if you want to use that term, or eating less for a period of time, the metabolism tends to reset to a lower level. We don't want it to do that. It makes it harder to do our job. So, of losing that weight effectively. So the cheat meals allow us to give a little spike to that metabolism, keep it in gear, so to speak. So it makes the process of weight loss that much easier. And you know what? What I tell people, just get right back on track. You have a cheat meal Saturday night, you get up Sunday, you're right back on your plan. Don't feel guilty, just get out there and do it.
I love that message. You know what, your philosophy, I'm sure, has to have an effect on those around you, Mike, specifically your family. Because if you have not followed Mike on or liked him on Facebook or add him as a friend, I mean, you're so positive, it's so encouraging, I mean, giving tips left and right. And something I came across was a picture of your son. And the picture when he, you know, I think you took a picture of him when he was in high school, I believe, mm-hmm. you know, to when he transitioned into college. And he went from a scrawny looking Al Martin to a Vin Diesel. You know, I'm like, what in the world? I mean, when did you start working with your son?
It's interesting because, you know, sometimes those closest to you are the last people to listen. You right. know, you go out there and you might be personal trainer of all these clients. You come home and be like, Dad, you don't know what you're talking about. So it was a transition for him to just realize that, you know, he kind of watched me exercise for years and has seen it's something that has been a consistent part of my life. He started doing it, a few tips here and there. You know, I didn't want to push him too hard, just wanted to encourage him to do it. Mm-hmm. And then he started to see the results. And then it fed upon itself. And now he's eating healthy, he's working out.
Is he?
He loves it. It's a lifestyle for him. You know, it's like, I'm not going to, you know, today's the day I'm supposed to work out. That's a priority. He gets that in around his schoolwork and everything. So
right.
I'm very proud of him. He's made some great changes. And
long did it take for him to get to, you know, where he was to now? I mean, it
wasn't that long. That was a period of within probably
Good genes, so.
18 months. I don't know. Gets that from his mom, I think. I don't know. Not so much from me, but yeah. But he's doing great.
Hey, well, that's great stuff. Again, you got to follow Mike on Twitter. I love it. So, Mike, before I let you go, really quickly, you know, something I struggle with, you know, is you know, when I'm going to, you know, Meijer, that's where I regularly grocery shop, and just trying to make sure I have everything I need. I am a terrible, terrible grocery shopper. What should a healthy grocery list look like and contain?
Good question. One of the things that I've often heard recommended, and I do believe it's true, is you should spend most of your time in that grocery store on the outside, on the aisles. If you ever think about the way the grocery stores are structured, most of the processed foods are in the middle. Not to say you can't go in there and purchase those, but mm-hmm. the unhealthier foods, the higher calorie, higher fat, higher sugar foods tend to be in the middle aisles. Along the outside is where we tend to have the fresh foods, the dairy products, the meats, the produce section, things like this. So to me, the bulk of the shopping, so to speak, should be done in the periphery. Mm-hmm. And then obviously adding foods that you need to, you know, to put in for the rest of your diet and so forth in the middle. But again, taking that philosophy, our home is our sanctuary. We're going to eat healthy. We're just going to bring healthy foods into the house and force ourselves to go out to obtain some of these other things. It's a matter of just, you know, slowly looking to make those changes. I've got a breakfast that's very typical for me. And I'm going to tell you what it is, and it might not sound good, but these things over time, I crave this now. This breakfast for me, it's the way I start my day. Get up in the morning, typically do a workout. I'll come in and take a couple packets of oatmeal, plain oatmeal. Doesn't sound very exciting. Mm-hmm. Get a little scoop of peanut butter. If I'm doing really good, it's natural peanut butter down inside that oatmeal. Stir it up, a little bit of protein powder. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, what I've got in this little container here is I've got good, healthy carbohydrates that are going to sustain me for the morning until I need my next snack. Uh-huh. I've got some healthy fat from the peanut butter. I've got some protein, a little glass of skim milk. I'm good to go. It's a great start to the day.
Really?
Yes,
so peanut butter, natural oatmeal, protein.
Stir it all up. It kind of gets like it's like a little custard. You stir up right. You can have it hot. You can throw it in the refrigerator and get it cold. I'm telling you, you start to really crave this. You acquire a taste for it. And it's just one of those things that gives you all the nourishment that you need for a couple hours to get through. and feel good. Doesn't weigh you down. Just gets you going. That's just a go-to food for me.
I'm going to try that. What kind of protein?
I told you I love chocolate. So you know it's going to be some form of chocolate that's going to go into there. But, you know, depending on how you want to make it, there's any number of different flavors you could use for this. So it's just – it's a good way to get you jump-started, get the metabolism going, give you the nourishment you need to get out, do your show, do some work, do your workout, whatever, without, you know – feeling too heavy, too weighed down by a typical breakfast that a lot of people have. The mistakes people make is they either grab something on the go or they end up having a real high carbohydrate breakfast without the protein or the healthy fat. Mm-hmm. That's going to put them on that roller coaster. They're going to be hungry again right away, and then they're going to end up at a vending machine or grabbing some snack foods, and from there, it's just a very difficult process, kind of a downhill slope. So you want to start the day out right with a good breakfast and just – you know, people can make these changes. They just have to want to do it, and they have to be forgiving of themselves when they have little slip-ups and just stay on track as best they can.
Just stay on track. And you're so positive, Mike. I love that message. Before we let you go, I mean, you know, going back to the whole J. Rule Campbell incident, of course, you were listening in as Alex and I discussed it, and you want to share your thoughts on it as well.
Just briefly. I mean, obviously, I don't know the extent of what had happened, so I don't pass any kind of judgment on this young man, and I hope his situation can be improved and somebody get through to him and he can move forward and be successful. But, you know, I do know some athletes on that football team. My son went to school with Mark D'Antonio's daughters. And to me, knowing him like I do, I mean, it got my blood boiling a little bit when you talk about these Michigan fans. And I'm not a Michigan hater by any means, but I do bleed green. I'm a Spartan.
Right.
So that is not the way he runs his program. You know, every program in the country is going to have some issues with some. These are young kids. They're young men that are growing up and maturing. There's always going to be these issues. But Mark D'Antonio is a quality guy. He's a man of character, and he runs his program that way. And for them to come in and say that this is the typical kind of athlete that Michigan State gets is just way off base. Right. I mean, it's way off base because, you know, I think, like I said, hopefully it's something where he can get the situation corrected, whether he comes to MSU or not. But that program is in a good place right now. They're winning, and they're doing it the right way.
I totally agree. Totally agree. Well put, Mike. All right, well, Mike, we got to have you on soon, right? We might have you on as a weekly segment just to give us some more tips on how to eat right. I'll tell you that, because I'm going to definitely try that breakfast. I'll twit pick it, I'll Instagram it, and let you know how it tastes, all right?
Sounds good, Al. Appreciate it. Anytime.
All right, well, let's hit the break. Thanks a lot, Mike. Let's hit the break. When we come back, we'll talk Michigan and Iowa. Michigan, they just keep on winning, folks. Pistons and Bucks, Wings, Blackhawks, so much coming back for you. Don't go anywhere. Current Sports returns in just a sec. All right, welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Well, again, the talk of the town around here has been the whole J. Rule Campbell story. J. Rule Campbell, a highly touted recruit, from Detroit Cass Tech, and he has been charged with assault and battery for body slamming a security guard yesterday, and possibly his scholarship will be in jeopardy. But again, we don't know the full story. Do not know the full story here. We'll definitely keep you up on the coming days. And if any new developments come out throughout the day, you can follow me on Twitter at AlMartinWKER. And also like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/CurrentSports. And if you want to call in and share your thoughts on it, you know the number, 517-355-9527. Again, that number is 517-355-9527. All right, Alex. Well, we were both wrong last night. Michigan getting a huge win over Iowa. Nick Stauskas has been just dead eye on.
Lethal.
I mean, his shot looks like mine in the backyard. He's that good. He is that good, folks. Unbelievable. 26 points for Nick Stauskas. He had it was at a career high for him. As they top Iowa 75-67 to remain unbeaten in the Big Ten. And you know, while I was watching that game last night, you know, Alex, it's fitting. You know, in a way, I was kind of, you know, in my head rooting for Michigan. Yes, I know I bleed green, but rooting for them just to set up this huge matchup to set the table for this huge matchup of unbeatens, the two Goliaths, if you will, in the Big Ten that will take place on Saturday night. I mean, now the table's set, baby. I cannot wait for Saturday. What'd you see last night at Gillette?
You know what I saw, Alan? I want to ask you this and debate this a little bit, but Tom Izzo called Gary Harris one of the better players that he's ever coached.
Could be the best guard he's
players.
Ever coached. Wait, he said guard, too.
Guards. Okay. Gary Harris, obviously, is a shooter. But I think Stauskas might have a better shot than Harris.
Hold on. Yeah. Pump the brakes,
okay.
Brother.
Okay.
Nick Stauskas is certainly a unbelievable shooter. I told you, his shot looks like mine. But Nick Stauskas doesn't have the versatility as a Gary Harris.
Right, but
he can put
all
Gary
I'm
Harris
saying
can
is
put
shooter.
You,
I'm not saying player, I'm saying shooter.
Hold on, you just said player.
I said Gary Harris is the best player.
Nick Stauskas is definitely a better shooter.
Right.
Nick Stauskas is definitely a better shooter than Gary Harris, but Nick Stauskas is not a better player Gary Harris. Nick Stauskas does not play the defense that Gary Harris plays.
Some people might argue Gary Harris might be a better shooter. So
Stauskas has definitely put that notion.
I thought maybe you disagree.
He may be the best shooter in the nation right now in college basketball right now. I mean, he just shoots the blood out of the ball. I mean, but with Gary Harris, Gary can take you on the dribble. He can, he has a nice very, very good mid-range game. He plays unbelievable defense. He had 5 steals the other day. I mean, he affects the game in so many aspects, more so than Nick Stauskas. But don't get me wrong, Eric Canada he's unbelievable. He's unbelievable. Shooting lights out again. A career high for Nick last night, 26 points. You know what was the X factor for me watching that game last night? Spike Aubert was great. Of course, he's filling in for Walton Jr., who had the flu, I believe, last night. And Spike Aubert getting his first start. The man, I mean, he saw the court so well, got his teammates involved. He had 7 assists. No turnovers. And on the contrary, something I've been harping on Michigan all year so far has been their defense. I think they're not a great defensive team. I said that yesterday coming into the Iowa game. But last night, I mean, they were locked down most of that game. They forced Iowa into 14 turnovers. Also, that equaled their lowest scoring game of the season for Iowa. I mean, they were locked down. Jordan Morgan specifically down in that paint. He held his own. He was great. They also matched the Hawkeyes, which has a lot to do with Jordan Morgan. I want to shout out Jordan Morgan because he was great also. He matched the Hawkeyes, him and, you know, the entire team, with 10 offensive rebounds, which was key to those, you know, not allowing Iowa to really get into a groove at all offensively. And, again, the defense for Michigan was unbelievable. And also, the way that Michigan defended the three-point line. Iowa was 2 for 10 throughout that entire game from behind the arc. And a moment in the game that stands out to me that shows the maturity of this team. When Aaron White decided, hey, I'm going to take over this game, attempted a one-man comeback, if you will, cut the lead to just 4 with a minute left, Michigan and how they responded was flawless. They made smart, well-timed fouls, got out on the break, and they hit the free throws. Hit their free throws, which was the key for them pulling it out down the stretch. But Aaron White's going to be a stud, too.
Yeah, he is.
He was great.
And, you know, Spike Aubert kind of reminds me of a Steve Nash. I mean, when the national championship last year.
I don't
go
that far now.
No, but, the floaters, the way he passed. I don't know.
Alex, you're throwing out some big stuff here.
I don't know, man.
Steve Nash, Spike Aubert, that doesn't even sound right.
You and I come on the show, it's like a mini huge show, you know what I'm saying?
So. Stop. All right. Now, guys are definitely finding their roles, though. I tell you that. And they are fine. They're playing with confidence. Michigan is certainly playing with confidence. And the Wolverines, don't blink, but they have won 8 straight games. Doing it without Mitch McGarry, preseason All-American first team selection. Now, they beat Minnesota, they beat Nebraska. I still do not think, though, with as good as they're playing, they won't beat Michigan State on Saturday. I don't see it. Nick Stauskas has been on a tear. I mean, sooner or later, I mean, for she's a shooter, shooters can't, I mean, one of these days, Nick is going to have a bad game. I think it may be against MSU because that defense that MSU plays lockdown defense as well. They defend the three-pointer very well. I just don't see Nick going off. I think Adrian Payne will be causing havoc down low. I just don't see it. I don't know. But it's going to be a matchup. This sets the table, baby. This certainly sets the table. All right, really quickly, again, the Pistons. My goodness. They're just kicking me when I'm down right now. They lose to the lowly Bucks, the Milwaukee Bucks. I mean, come on, really? Come on. I watched that game.
They lost to the Jazz. Remember when you got all up,
yeah, I mean,
up
yeah,
in arms
I mean,
when they lost?
Every game, it's just come on. I mean, this team was so promising at one point. Caron Butler goes off for 30 points. It's something that, you know, I had no idea. I had to read this stat twice when I looked at it. The Pistons are the NBA's top offensive rebounding team.
Wow.
What? Wow. We overlooked that. I had no idea. But granted that they are the NBA's top offensive rebounding team. They were out-rebounded offensively on the offensive board 12-9 last night. 12-9. A 9-game skid for the Bucks was broken with that win over the Pistons. And Monroe came out today, Greg Monroe, that is, came out and, you know, and said that, yeah, he's heard the trade rumors and it is definitely affecting him to a certain degree every time he gets out there on the court. Something's going to happen. I think Monroe's days are numbered, if you will, and I just don't see the Pistons. I'm going to stick with my guns here. I think the Pistons will still make the playoffs. They are in the terrible Eastern Conference, terrible, terrible conference. I still think they can squeak in there. But a change has got to come soon.
It's coming, yeah. And the Bucks were on a 9-game losing streak, too. I mean, this wasn't a Bucks team that's just typically bad. I mean, they were on a losing streak, Al.
Yes, yes.
But you know what? When it's Caron Butler bobblehead night, you know that's probably what set him
that's
up.
That's what you attributed to, right?
Got to be a little superstitious.
It was a little hype. Yeah, and you know what? Charlie V, you know, we're talking about a change is going to come. That's what he tweeted last night. That just hit me. He tweeted a change is going to come, and that set the Twitter world on fire as far as the Pistons go. So,
And how about Brandon Jennings back in Milwaukee? I mean, that's a story,
yeah,
right there.
Yeah, and you know what? You know, if you remember in the game prior to this one when Detroit met up with Milwaukee, I mean, Brandon Jennings, he went off again, but they got the W. I mean, Brandon Jennings was great in that game. So he definitely plays with a chip on his shoulder when he's playing the Bucks because that is his old team, and he definitely showed that again last night. Hats off to the Red Wings, though. The Red Wings, they got a win yesterday over the Chicago Blackhawks, a 5-4 win. And, you know, something we haven't been able to say for the Red Wings is that they cannot win the close ones. And they did. They won the shootout last night. 5-4, Darren Helm coming up as Superman in that game. And hopefully, you know, the Red Wings can start to get into a groove now. That's a huge win over very good team. We were wrong on that one, too. I think we both chose Chicago. I think Matt even chose Chicago on that one, too.
Yeah, we all did.
So there you have that. All right, Alex, you got any Throwback Thursday stuff for you, man?
I want to hear yours first,
This
man.
Day in sports. All right, I'll go first. This day in sports, a pretty busy busy day. Thursdays are pretty busy days in sports. In 1944, on this January 23rd, the Detroit Red Wings, they set a record for the most goals, most consecutive goals, and most points in a game. The Red Wings beat the New York Rangers 15-0 and had a total of, get this is nuts, 37 assists.
Wow!
Woo! If that's a little local flavor for you.
You know, that's a good team. It's not like it was 20 assists on all 15. It was 37 assists. So every
right.
goal had like two or three guys on it.
Exactly.
That's great.
And it doesn't stop there. Get this, more Red Wing flavor for you on this Throwback Thursday. In 1966, the Detroit Red Wings ended a streak of 47 straight wins when leading after two periods, and the streak started on November 21st. 1964. That's pretty interesting. In 1982, in what I think is one of the greatest national anthem renditions of all time, and my grandma loves her, Diana Ross performed the U.S. national anthem at the Super Bowl in 1982. If you haven't checked that one out, I still think Whitney Houston's, though, is the greatest rendition of the national anthem of all time, but we can debate that. In 1985, O.J. Simpson became the first Heisman Trophy winner to be elected to Pro Football's Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio. And let's see here. In 2002, the NHL fined Theo Fleury of the New York Rangers $1,000 for making an obscene gesture to fans after a game the night before. So there you have that. Anything I didn't have on that list, Jeff?
This is actually a pretty funny one. If you remember back in 05, Al, the Detroit Lions. Can you name the Detroit Lions head coach in 05? Take a guess.
Was that Morning Wake?
It was Steve Mariucci.
Oh, Mariucci. Mooch.
Midway through the 05 season, Mariucci gets fired. Guess who takes over as interim head coach? Dick Gerone. Former Chicago Bears coach. And then the following year, in 2006, he was named the Buffalo Bills head coach. So on this day, former Lions interim coach, Dick Gerone, was named Buffalo Bills head coach in 2006.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. That's interesting.
That's
anything else?
I also got that Tiger won his first golf tournament in 15 months at the Buick.
The Buick.
And remember, this was the longest skate he had besides when the whole rendezvous happened with the car and the woman and all that years later. So
Right.
So those are my big two.
Dig that, man. I can't wait. I miss golf, man. Al Woods needs to get back out there.
Al Jordan, jump shot, how great it was. I mean, we don't need to get into it, man.
Basketball is what I do. But golf right now is what I does, okay? I mean, I really miss golf. I mean, Aaron, I think it's safe to say that Aaron is the best golfer out of all of us here at Current Sports. Aaron's pretty good.
Al, can we get a prediction, though? From I know you're a little quiet on it, but what? I want to hear your prediction on the Campbell thing.
I'm not going to go there. You know what?
He was just wondering.
Stop. I'm not going to even entertain that. I really just feel for the young man.
Thoughts on this.
Final thoughts on J. Rue Campbell.
This is just so big, Al.
Thoughts on J. Rue Campbell. I really hope that the young man gets some help, first of all, because I feel as though looking at his past and the past incidents that he's had, he seems troubled. He seems to have some anger issues.
It seems to be reoccurring.
It's definitely reoccurring. I just hope the young man gets some help. If he is in the fault, he deserves to have his scholarship pulled. And that's as far as I'm going with it, man. I want to know more. I need to know more. As a journalist, I need to know more. That's all I'm saying about it.
Fair. Yeah. I don't see. That's the thing, Al, is there have been many Michigan State players that in the past have violated a law or have done something that have been allowed back. I mean, we've seen it. And for a high school athlete, I'm just wondering if it's true that if it will be different. I would just love to debate that when we know more later.
When we
next
know
week.
More, we will definitely have that conversation. But yeah, we will see. You know, it's like I said, it's definitely disappointing to see a young man who has the world at his feet.
Yeah.
And something that has happened. When I heard about it, I'm like, no, are you serious? So, we'll definitely see. But yeah, all right. Well, clock is ticking again. I want to remind you all that you can tune in. Current Sports TV airs tonight on WKAR-TV as I sit down with Michigan State Athletic Director Mark Hollis. And you know those cryptic tweets, Alex? He definitely alluded to him a little bit. We read him on the show, and he had some interesting answers, if you will. So you check that out. Mark is always a great, great guest. And next week, I will be sitting down with Lansing Community College Athletic Director Greg Malik, who was also he's been on the show before here on the radio show this past summer, so that should be also an interesting conversation. Be a part of that live audience by simply going to WKAR.org and signing up for free. I love seeing your smiling faces each and every Wednesday night. Well, we are out of time. Again, thanks so much to all of you who tuned into today's episode of Current Sports. Shout out to Alex Sharg and Matt Lufke, our production assistants. Aaron Young, our engineer, Peter Worf, station manager here at WKAR. Thanks to Mike Ball, director of personal training. And he's just an unbelievable guy. Unbelievable guy. Thanks so much, Mike, for joining me. Same time, same place, tomorrow. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing and WKAR FMHD3 East Lansing. Have a great day and be easy, people.